Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
So glad you could spend some time with us here in The Advertising Show this weekend. It's Ray Schillens along with Brad Forsythe, The Advertising Show. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by the Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. David Labonte out of Southern California is our guest today. And I'll tell you a little bit about David. He's a senior strategic executive over 30 years in marketing and advertising, working on accounts like Fantastic Sam's, Intel, Mitsubishi, Texas Instruments, and more. Also is the author of a book. Is that correct, Brad? Do we have a book today here?
Yeah, we do. Shiny Objects Marketing.
And that's the website I have, shinyobjectsmarketing.com. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I always like to plug the publisher. Wiley is the publisher for
Wiley
for David's book.
Wiley Coyote.
You got
something like that. So David's going to be on here with us for three segments, and we've got a whole bunch of other stuff as well just a few moments away. Jean Bliss, the customer experience, release and redefine is what she's talking about today. Later on in the hour, out of New York, our activist for excellence is Shamin Abbas and PR and social media, how they work together. So a lot of good stuff coming your way here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. I have something here from, I don't know which publication this. Oh, yeah, it's Wall Street Journal. You can now order pizza on your television. Well, You should have seen that coming. That's kind of cool, actually, isn't it? We have basically a new promotion with TiVo. How interesting that is. Domino's Pizza will begin taking orders using only a television set from customers who have broadband TiVo service. Okay, when a customer forwards through a commercial for Domino's, TiVo will flash a pop-up ad that will ask the customer if he or she would like to order a pizza, and then direct her to a Domino's ordering screen. The deal shows how marketers are finding ways to take advantage of the digital recording technology that has eroded their advertising power in recent years. And for Domino's, it's just another way to be really cool and really unique. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, Time Warner, Oceanic, in the market where I reside, has it's you see it on the cable guide, and it says Pizza Hut, order it. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't clicked onto it because I'm not interested in ordering a Pizza Hut pizza, but this is an interesting twist, as you describe it, Ray, in that you see the commercial, and then you click on, and, you know, they've been saying for years that eventually the Internet will converge with your big monitor, as they say, the television.
Well, sure.
And they've been talking about that for a while, and hopefully this is a step in the right direction, because, you know, Ray, I think, and you and I have talked about this plenty, 5-10 years from now, I think people will be saying, do you remember when you used to have to go to a different room for your internet versus your television, and now you're sitting there with your keyboard and watching TV and delivering shows from the internet and creating your own, you know, your own schedule, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah.
Interesting times we live in, as we always say.
It'd be nice if they had a replacement for the crazy Domino's driver, or I shouldn't say Domino's, but crazy pizza driver.
the delivery guys.
Yeah, if they could just figure out a way to make that happen without actually having to deliver it, that would be a good thing.
So, can you tell they're not getting paid by the hour, but by the
delivery? Yeah, right. Well, as you know, Domino's had a problem with that a while back as well. You know, that was their irresistible offer, and it got them a whole heck a lot of trouble because one of the guys went a little bit too fast and hurt somebody real bad. So that wasn't a good thing. But anyway, I think that's really cool. And that's not only with Domino's. That's on a lot of other things, too. If you see something you like, they've built in, for instance, with, let's see, we have Dish Network, Dish TV or Direct, I forget what it's called. But there are some commercials, obviously, that run there as well, with the opportunity to click here if you want to find out more about something. And this is not on the infomercial channels. This could be on a regular commercial channel as well. So I think it's really smart of marketers and advertisers to take hold of this new technology and do something cool. And here's another change, too. Home Depot, they have a new website, and it's now going to be directed at Hispanic population with a new Spanish language version of the website. Seems like that should have been already happening, but they're joining a handful of other large U.S. retailers doing that. Basically, it replicates the English language e-commerce site, 40,000 products available online. Shoppers, Home Depot, like many other national retailers, use Hispanics as a lucrative growth opportunity. Well, no kidding. So it's nice that they've taken hold and given something of substance to that particular market. I always am amazed at how behind the times it seems that advertisers haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, I think they're going to call that site homedelacasa.com.
Probably so. I don't know. What do you have there?
Well, you know, very briefly, I wanted to mention, and this is no surprise to us, Ray, being, you know, you with your background in the radio business. I spent a few years in that business, and a move that could backfire if anti-Democrat Detroit public sentiment grows. The Radio Advertising Bureau, no surprise here, wants radio companies to back the controversial GM bailout. RAB has posted on their site a letter from General Motors ad director Betsy Lazar asking for radio support. And, of course, RAB, Ray, all the local radio stations and the huge amount of dollars that local car dealers pour into mm-hmm. local radio stations. So Lazar's letter claims the auto companies were making progress restructuring themselves when the present crisis struck, and that now the very existence of U.S.-based auto industry is threatened. Well, that's no newsflash, I suppose.
No, not really. So what do they want them to do, drop their rates, I guess, or something?
Well, you know, I guess they're supposed to, you know, they don't really say much, but I'm sure if you visit their site, you know, if you work for a radio station, send a letter to your senator or representative and urge them to support the bailout. But I want to know is where do you draw the line? I mean, you know, who is and who is not going to get a bailout over the next 6 months to a year? I mean, come on.
Sounds like more people are going to get it than not. Gene Bliss is with us here on the advertising show, The Customer Experience. Release and redefine. It's kind of like fishing, I guess. Here, let's listen.
Welcome to The Customer Experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Release and redefine good life. As consumers, we're too used to having our barometer of our success connected to how much we're spending. Stuck in that rut, our measure of how good our life right now is will clearly sink. Instead, redefine what good is. A great cup of coffee in the paper is good, but blended with 30 minutes that you give yourself to just be is, well, great. Weekend at a 4-star hotel can be wonderful, but so can a great hike or camping under the stars or sightseeing the city you live in that you never take the time to see. A movie is good, but conversation with someone you love even better. Great, I'd say. If we can re-blend our consumption to one part purchase and three parts enjoying the time between the spend, I bet we'd actually enjoy those purchases more. I bet all this great thinking time will create the next new breed of consumer breakthroughs, which we can get back to after this economic intermission.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
David Levati is our special guest out of Southern California this week here on The Advertising Show. Working for manufacturers, distributors, and agencies provides him with a powerful insight across all marketing functions. Worked on both the client side and the agency side in a variety of industries, including healthcare, high-tech, retail, packaged goods, and hospitality. And David has a book, Shiny Objects Marketing. ShinyObjectsMarketing.com is the website. We're going to take a break and come back with David in just a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
These are the three largest selling soft drinks. Now, let's have a look and see what makes them so popular.
As promised on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth, our special guest this weekend, David Labonte, president and partner of Ad Matrix, an Orange County, California-based marketing and advertising agency. And basically, his agency has become a destination for companies seeking a way to discover their customers' shiny objects. David, it is so good to have you here on The Advertising Show. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being invited.
Yeah, and welcome to our listeners in North America and around the world. Describe, David, if you will, the central hypothesis of your book, please.
Sure. The basic premise of the idea is that if you can make your product or your service a shiny object to your prospects, they'll be naturally attracted to you, and thereby you become extremely successful doing so. And as opposed to persuading somebody to do something that they may or may not want to do, the idea behind shiny objects is you find out what elements of what you're selling has a natural attraction to your customers, so you don't have to persuade them. They're instinctually attracted to it.
So persuasion is not required if you can incorporate the shiny object marketing idea.
That's right. And there's nothing wrong with persuasion. Persuasion works very well. It's a time-tested, proven technique. But it's often difficult. You have to find out a lot of information about the person. You have to overcome objections. You have to construct a very difficult argument sometimes. Whereas with shiny objects, we really dig down to deeper levels, too, that are more instinctual in nature.
Well, let's talk a little bit about why consumers or just people in general, I suppose, are attracted to shiny objects. You give the example of Apple's Macintosh computer as how survival needs can override developmental needs. Talk a little bit about this, David.
Sure. One of the things we use in shiny objects marketing is we actually go back all the way to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you can relate to those needs, you're going to have a much stronger attraction. The basic, very basic level is survival needs. Those are things like food, water, shelter. And then from there, you move up to developmental needs, which are social interaction, self-esteem, those sort of things. Fast food companies, pizza companies, those sort of things, they really focus on those survival needs. I think you were talking a little bit earlier in your show about pizza being available on TiVo.
Mm-hmm.
And brilliant, actually genius, because when you're sitting there watching this, up pops a shiny object, in this case pizza, relates right to a survival need, your hunger, and you get and survival needs need to be taken care of right away. The only problem with survival needs is once they're fulfilled, they kind of go away for a while. They always come back. But the stronger needs are the developmental needs, and that's what Mac has done, too. Mac has created a whole community of Macanites, you might call them, the Church of Mac, so to speak. And so to the point that if, you know, we in our agency here, we use both Macs and PCs, but in the those that use Macs, if you say anything bad about a Mac, it's almost heresy. And Macintosh, if you look carefully at their commercials, they're very skillfully put together. So not only are they trying to convince people who have maybe not decided which platform to go for, they're reinforcing those people who have already made that decision that they're somehow better and superior than those dweebs that keep buying PCs.
They had a great ad this past week that they were running at least over and over again. I saw it like five times on CNN with the Mac PC guys. And what a great job of casting the perfect people and sending the right message. The PC guy wanted to take the little customer satisfaction meter and bend it so that it became unsatisfactory, and he broke it off. And you know, I love the campaign that they've done for that.
I haven't seen that one, but the interesting thing is, shiny objects are fairly universal. They're not regional based and so on. And that concept, for example, here in the United States, we don't necessarily see it, but they've extended that concept around the world. They use the same pair of characters, but geographically changed for the region, whether it's in Asia or Europe or in England. And they take those same kind of characters, but the same basic shiny object message they put out there, and it works around the world.
You know, it sounds like, as you were describing developmental versus survival needs, that, I don't know, it would seem to me that it would be more challenging if your product were in the survival category, if you will, like consumer product goods or fast foods, whatever, and that to make your product a shiny object marketing promoted product, it would seem more challenging than a developmental need type product.
Well, they certainly have their set of challenges. For the most part, developmental needs, they have a much stronger initial reaction. So if you can cue into that, like Carl Jr. does here locally, with their hamburger spots, they promote these juicy, drippy, you know, hamburgers.
Expensive.
They get you salivating. They create that experience. They're reaching into that. So you're actually almost experiencing that vicariously by watching the commercial. And your stomach might actually start feeling hunger pains. and thereby associating that with the brand promise of fulfilling and making that hunger go away. Very, very powerful, very strong. But also, once it's fulfilled, it goes away. So the challenge is you have to fulfill it. You have to make that experience extremely meaningful. Because, interesting, people remember experiences more than they remember products. They remember the interaction they had with a product rather than the product itself. And very, very key when you're relating at those survival needs level. Because once you've fulfilled that and you've moved on, you have to remember what that experience was like. Otherwise, you may go to a different brand.
On the Advertising Show, our special guest this weekend is David Labonte, author of Shiny Objects Marketing. ShinyObjectsMarketing.com is the website. And as Brad said, it's a Wiley publication as well. With Ray Schilling's Brad Forsyth, we have more with David in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read IWantMedia.com? IWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. IWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says IWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit IWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Back with Ray Schilling and Brad Forsyth this weekend. It's David Labonte out of California, Southern California. David is an agency guy and also the author of a book called Shiny Objects Marketing. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I understand at your firm you conduct shiny object workshops to show your clients and participants how to develop a tool called the Shiny Object Quadrant. David, I was thinking that we could have our little own mini workshop here today. If you could give us kind of an overview, if you will, and some insight into this process.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Like you said, in the workshop we have this tool called Shiny Object Quadrants, and the idea is to categorize potential shiny objects as their potential of being successful or not. The point being that a shiny object an object or a service or a product may be a shiny object to somebody, but if you can't fulfill it, it provides you no benefit to try to go do it. Basically, the quadrant is made of two intersecting axes. One axis is the desire to have, and the other axis is the ability to provide. The desire to have is strictly from the consumer level. How much do I want it? Forget about price. It's just the raw desire to have it on a scale of 1 to 10. You know, 0, I don't want it at all, or 10 is I've got to have this no matter what. And then the ability to provide is strictly from the company standpoint. How realistically can I provide this shiny object? Either 0, not at all, or 10, yeah, I can be asleep and I can provide this, no problem at all. And what you do, the intersection of these two axes creates four quadrants. In the lower left quadrant, we call that lead weight, which is low desire to have and low ability to provide. In other words, nobody wants it and you can't provide it. So we call that lead weight. But it's amazing how many companies continue to pursue products in that category. And they just continue to drag the company down and sometimes into ruin. And then the upper left quadrant is high desire to have, but low ability to provide. And we call that the mirage, because it sure looks like the real thing. That's fool's gold, because it sure looks like the real thing, and there's a strong desire to have it, but it's worthless because we can't provide it. There's no way we can possibly get there. Then the lower right quadrant is high desire to have and low ability. High desire to provide, low ability to provide. That becomes what we call a mirage, because although it looks like the real thing, we can't get there. We can never, ever provide it. The upper right quadrant is the sweet spot. That's high ability to provide and high desire to have. And that's where when we go through the workshop with companies and we identify, we start with maybe 30 or 40 potential shiny objects, the ones that end up in that quadrant are the ones that really have the potential to move them forward.
That's interesting. And, you know, I guess we just saved all of our listeners, $250 admission to your workshop.
Well, I don't think you gave it all away, Brad. I think there's probably more to learn. Yeah.
No, that was very interesting. As I hear that, David, I'm wondering, how do you determine consumer desire there? Is that research or how do you do that?
That's an excellent question. In the workshop itself, we try to have a very broad mix of people from sales, people from operations, people from marketing, so that we have a very broad perspective. And in that case, we have maybe 15 to 20 people. Typically, the group itself comes up with some pretty very accurate assessments of the shiny objects. Although we always have the caveat, okay, this is just an internal perception. It's best that we go outside and test these things with research. And there could be there's a variety. We can either do, you know, focus groups. We can do online surveys, mall intercepts, depending on what the product and service is. We can go then and then test those shiny objects with customers to see if indeed they did identify the right ones.
And in how many cases are your participants looking at launching a new product or service versus looking for validation of an existing product or service?
I'd say it's about half and half. The validation is an interesting one because many companies we deal with have products that have been selling for a number of years, but they've lost sight of really what is the shiny object of this product. And there's been competitive intrusion, there's been market erosion, they're not selling it as well as they used to, and their studies are telling them there's still a high demand, so how come we're not selling it? That's typically because the company has lost vision of what the shiny object is. And the workshop helps bring that back in focus.
Our special guest here, David, hang on just one moment. We'll continue that here in just a moment. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe from The Advertising Show. David Labonte, author of Shiny Objects Marketing, here with Ray and Brad. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
The book is called Shiny Objects Marketing with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe here on The Advertising Show. David, thanks for being with us this weekend.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, and I think, David, right before the break, you were about to launch into new products and how that relates to the quadrant, as you were explaining.
Yeah, new products present a particular challenge because they're new. You don't have the track record with them, and you might have some competitive history that you can kind of look at, but particularly if it's a new product technologically, you don't have that track record. So it becomes the nuances of really developing the shiny objects becomes a little more difficult. And to work into those four quadrants, the group has a less chance of being accurate, a pretty good chance still, but as a group, less chance of being accurate than if they are at the product as a validation of an existing product.
Yeah, I would think, because you're at that point, if you're researching, you're actually asking, I guess, potential customers to determine whether they would use a product that they currently are not purchasing, and I guess in many cases getting along fine without it. But I see the challenges of what you're describing there. In your book, David, you mention something that you call shiny object syndrome. What exactly is that?
I call that the evil twin, because if you actually Google shiny objects on the internet, most all the references are negative and defined as a shiny object is something that distracts you from your main focus in life or what should be your main focus in life.
Really?
But I take the premise of what if those shiny objects are your main focus in life? Shiny objects are not necessarily just objects. There can be principles like freedom, security, family happiness, a better job. All of these things are shiny objects, and so they often are the most important things in your life. So that's why I call the shiny object syndrome, which others describe as the search for things or the distraction by things that you shouldn't be focusing on. I look at it from a different perspective, that the shiny objects, we should understand them. Even the distractions we should understand, because once you understand why you're distracted, then you can deal with it rather than just ignoring it.
Yeah. You mentioned, I don't think we have time this segment to go through all of the five keys in your book that you describe as to how to create a brand that is a powerful, as you call it, uber shiny object. But there is a distinctly different and important way that you go about creating the shiny object for a brand as opposed to a product or service, correct?
That's correct. You know, in the book and in our workshops, we go into great detail on this. The first principle of a shiny object is grabbing attention, but it doesn't end there, and that's what most people think of a shiny object. The other four principles are create curiosity, stimulate the urge to touch, activate an emotion, and then create a demand to own. And all four of those principles are equally as important in making that shiny object carry through to a sale and a very long-term customer.
Let's say that you're in a crowded business category, and many of our listeners around the world are in marketing and advertising and are in charge of either a client's advertising or sometimes working on the advertisers on the client side of the business in charge of one particular client, that being their bosses. So let's say your particular business category is a very competitive and crowded category. Are there any special ways that a company can go about separating their product and service to stand out among the rest using your shiny object marketing ideas?
There are. In fact, we talk about that in the book, in that it's likened to walking into a room with lots of shiny objects. How do you make your particular shiny object stand out?
Shinier.
Yes, exactly right. We actually treat it sort of that way, like a shiny object. You make it shinier, and that could be in package design. That could be in the message that you're providing. Or another thing you can do is you put it in a glass case as though it's something special. Not everybody can have this. It's a very, some of the high-end automobile companies do a very good job with this. It's not designed for everybody. It's only for a very select few can have this product. Or you take it to another level where you make it shinier because of the logo design or the actual graphics that you're using, that sort of thing.
Let's hope that the shiny objects marketing book is one of the shiniest objects on the shelf at your favorite bookstore as well. And, David, we wish you well with the book. And, again, go grab it. ShinyObjectsMarketing.com is where you'll find out a little bit more about that. David, it's been a pleasure having you here today on the Advertising Show.
Thank you very much.
We will be back in just a moment with more with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 international creative awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The Open Ad Way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
You know me. Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care if I'm...
Great interview there with David Labonte, out of Orange County, California, author of Shiny Objects Marketing. That's where his agency is at as well. ShinyObjectsMarketing.com is the site. I like the little mini workshop that we had here as well. What a great idea. So thank you to David. Next week, by the way, Will Ander is co-author of a book called Greentailing and Other Revolutions in Retail. And Will is our guest coming up next week here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Mercedes-Benz. Always have been a big fan of Mercedes and a lot of the stuff.
In the driveway, don't you?
They just said thank you gift for that, and I thought it was very nice.
Yeah, it was.
But Mercedes-Benz USA, 6 months after launching a new password-protected website for interacting with Gen Y, is planning a second site this coming year to reach an older group of Mercedes owners. The old fart. No. In fact, Vice President of Marketing Steve Cannon has found the Gen Y site. It's, by the way, GenerationBenz.com. So efficient and useful, he can envision it replacing some types of focus groups, particularly those that delve into broader issues such as greenwashing. Mercedes uses Generation Benz to get feedback on product designs and advertising concepts and more generally gauge the mindset of the 19 to 32-year-old crowd. Well, hey, what a good concept, and how fresh it is to say, well, maybe we won't use those focus groups anymore. Focus groups were a thing of the past, at least in my mind. What about you, Brad?
Well, yeah. You know, as you were describing that, I thought for sure you were going to go into how Mercedes was, you know, maybe catering to the older crowd through maybe changing up to some designs and ergonomics and so forth, and you'd jump in a Mercedes and see great big numbers and great big, you know, dials and, you know, kind of like the Reader's Digest large type version, you know, or maybe handles that instead of a push, you know, they're kind of a crank handle in case you have arthritis. I don't know. When do the ergonomics of vehicles begin to cater to the older crowd because they have difficulty with seeing at night or reading small numbers or getting in and out of a vehicle? You know, I imagine that'll come along. But you mentioned next week's guest, Greentailing. Mm-hmm. This past week, I don't know if you caught any of this, the Today Show has been doing a major portion of their morning program.
Oh, yeah, it was really great, including Ann Curry on the Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania.
Yeah, and,
what a cool
idea. And they were all in different parts of the world, and they were promoting, you know, ecological changes and our environmental changes and things that are happening in a good way and maybe a not-so-good way. And I just thought it was great that a program like the Today Show would do something like that.
And the Today Show never leaves me at a loss. They're always good at what they do, and they always do it right. And the cast of characters that they've put together for that show, and I say characters because they all have really wonderfully talented characteristics, each in their own respect. So what a, congratulations to them on yet another successful venture, and I'm sure they're still number one in the morning. Gee, I wonder why. CBS and ABC. We have, who do we have here? I don't know. Shamin Abbas, and it's called PR and Social Media. Let's listen.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, Publicity, and Crisis Management Instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
PR and Social Media. I was recently at a client event when I overheard a couple of 20-somethings avidly discussing Facebook and Second Life. It seems sometimes that these social networking media have replaced real-world relationships in a way that's almost unfathomable to anyone who did not grow up with over 100 basic cable channels, incessant texting, emailing and trolling the web. But the social media represent a business opportunity in addition to bragging rights of how many people will have friended you. For those of us in publicity or advertising, it's another medium for outreach, as long as you use it well and study its internal culture before leaping in. Brand Week ran a story this past spring about some marketers failing on Second Life, whilst others have done really well. The defining reason for the failure these real-world giants had is that they approached marketing products and services in the same way they would a traditional marketing channel. And Second Lifers don't care. In fact, more than 70% of Second Life users said they are disappointed with the marketing in their virtual community, according to the research firm that conducted the study. While some companies have done innovative work, the majority of those marketing on Second Life put something up and then clearly never return. Because of this, Second Lifers are skeptical of marketing on the site. They expect more creativity, more inspiration, and not the traditional vertical influence of the 60-second spot. In fact, 42% of all respondents doubted companies would actually put much follow-up effort into the site at all. Whether it's Facebook, Second Life, MySpace, or the myriad of community sites out there, you must study your audience's habits, understand their unique online culture, and what appeals to them. If they love you, they'll spread the word. If you blunder, they'll tell everyone and they won't mince words. For a publicist, websites like Facebook are great tools, both for making friends in the media and for reaching out to groups to publicize a client's events. We've had great success with event turnout when we've covered both bases through traditional Evites and Facebook announcements to the right groups of members and friends. If you bring the right client to the right audience in the right way, success is inevitable.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, Publicity, and Crisis Management Instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's S-H-A-M-I-N ABASPR.com.
Shamin, thank you so much being a part of the advertising show. What a great, great feature, as always. Thank you. We'll enter next week on the advertising show, co-author of Green Tailing and Other Revolutions in Retail. Hey, Brad, it was really interesting. Speaking of retail and the retail season, there are a lot of retailers feeling the heat from lack of sales as well this year. And a lot of stores closing their doors after the retail season. And they're saying, be careful giving cards, you know, those gift cards, because your favorite store, like a CompUSA, might not be there after the holidays. So it's quite interesting, but there were a number of stores that have either scaled down their development and or are going away completely, and very few stores were not reported there. I wish I had printed that out, or at least I had it in front of me here. I thought that was a rather interesting fact as well.
Yeah, well, so beware of asking for your return receipt this year because you may return with a receipt and find the doors closed, is what you're saying.
Yeah, not a great way to spread the Christmas cheer, so to speak, this holiday season. So beware. The Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. There's a bunch of guys that will be around for a long time. Visit online at adage.com. And by the Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Tell a friend. Come here often, okay? The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.